listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show with Dr. Pat Allen. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We are so fortunate to have Dr. Pat and staff, myself, Patricia Eltage, and Kelly Ward, are available tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter the number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you about our sponsor, the Wan Institute. The Wan Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Wan training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the monthly ladies groups and private services, please email me at the office at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com, or call the office at 949-723-0338. Before we take your questions, we have Dr. Pat available to talk regarding her teachings. Please enlighten the audience,
Dr.
Pat. On
this tape, I'm going to be dealing with masculine and feminine energies, Carl Jung's idea of duality. In Carl Jung's frame of reference, every man had an anima, which is his feminine side, and every woman had a masculine side called the animus. Now, what exactly is an anima quality? A feminine quality, whether it's in a man's body or a woman's, is the ability to receive, be available to receive, and to respect the other person's giving, protecting, and cherishing. The animus in a woman is that masculine energy, the ability to give, to protect, and to cherish. Mothers have it. Masculine women have it. And so in today's world, everybody is both male and female. Now, where does this come from? I mean, Carl Jung's idea about duality is fine, but what does it look like in a human body? Roger Sperry and all the scientists afterwards have been talking about the brain differences between the right and the left-handed man and woman. The left lobe, we know now, is a very A, B, C, D, E lobe. The right lobe is an A, Z, A, P. It floats. It has more to do with feelings and relationships, which is a very feminine process. The left lobe wants to get the job done. Very logical. Now, right-handed men with a smaller bridge between the two lobes, called the corpus callosum, generally do better in one lobe at a time. He's in his left lobe logic, or he's in his feeling, make love, right lobe. We women and left-handed men, because we have a larger bridge between the two lobes, we mix our thoughts and feelings, and right-handed men often say we're a little out of it. AZ is a bit of a jump. So, if you think of Carl Jung's idea of duality as not only a spiritual entity within, spiritual meaning love, an ability to love, but also a physical situation that we're studying, you will understand that everyone is both right and left lobed, both thinking and feeling. Everyone's ambisexual today. Every male body also has a soul that is feminine, called the anima. The anima is that ability in a man to receive, to be available to receive, and to respect another person's right to give, protect, and cherish him. Some men are so macho, they cannot get in touch with their feminine. On the other hand, every woman in a female body has the ability to also have a strong side of her That ambisexuality within her is the animus. The animus is the ability to say no. I always say that the animus in a woman is either an anchor to take care of her, a shovel to take care of them, or a claw to tear people apart outside of herself. So in today's world, we all are ambisexual if we're healthy. Because today, real health is narcissistic health. Narcissistic health is normal for single people. A basketball player cannot be narcissistic, but a golfer can. A singles tennis player can be narcissistic, but a doubles player cannot. So narcissism is not all bad. People need to be narcissistic, especially if they're single. We need to think our way through our financial problems, and we need to enjoy our lives and know how to get in touch with those playful parts of ourselves. It is extremely abnormal to be in a relationship and be narcissistic. A man who's a macho cannot be with a true, fully evolved woman. Women's Lib has helped women get in touch with their animus at work. It's having difficulty after work that's the problem that I'm dealing with. But at work, the animus is that part of a woman that anchors her so that she is not codependent. In the old days, men and women were separated by church, by culture, by edict. Men were men and women were women. Not so. Today, everyone is a man, everyone is a woman, everyone has a brain to make a living, and everyone has a feeling heart that they have to put together if they want to be in a relationship. In a relationship in which two people with four energy systems, masculine and feminine, must come together without collision, intimacy is the goal. How do we avoid intimacy inadvertently, and how do we achieve intimacy? That is the point I want to deal with now. First of all, I'm going to say something that may inflame you. Equality works at work, but not after work. In the world today, there are no feminine energy systems at work. No one shall be treated according to their sex or their sexuality. That's becoming the law. Everyone is respectable, masculine, performance-oriented at work. And because of that, too many people take that attitude of everybody's equal at work, especially since Women's Lib, takes that idea to after work, when you're attempting to have a relationship or date, and that's where the problem comes in. Equality is good at work, but it's not good in a relationship. For a good intimate relationship, you know how to do non-intimate relationships because you're listening and reading to these books and tapes and workbooks, and if you had a good intimacy, you wouldn't. So I'm going to teach you about how to be intimate. Number one, if you're a 10 and you want a person to be intimate with you, you'll have to deal with somebody who's a 0. 10s are perfect people. Their ideas are respectable. Their feelings are cherishable. And they really don't have the ability to empathize. In the very best relationship, I want somebody to take special responsibility for being a respectable person and the other a cherishable person. I need a 5 and a 5 to make a 10 relationship.
Hi, I'm here with you. This is Patricia Eltinge. I'm here tonight with Andy Shaw. Are you there, Andy? Well, I know he's there somewhere. So
I'm here, sorry. Unmute button.
There you are. Very good. Well, isn't that thank you, Dr. Pat. Thank you so much for your really amazing enlightenment and work on the masculine and feminine energies, and also having people understand about narcissism. It's not all bad. So, Andy, I know that you work with other people. So when you're at work, everyone is in their masculine part of them, right?
Absolutely. Everybody's equal.
So everybody's equal at work. But now what Dr. Pat was talking about, and we thank her so much for the depth of her work in this area and her groundbreaking work. By the way, I might mention the greatest book ever on relationships, How to Get Into a Relationship and Stay, is Getting to I Do, How to Do Relationships Right. So that's Dr. Pat Allen's book. And other books that she's written too can be found on the website. And that is the one at the one is drpatallen.com. And so what do you have to say about that topic, Andy?
That was the first book I read, and it rocked my world. And then the second book I read, which took me 5 years to do it, was Staying Married and Loving It. And
yes,
I avoided it because I wasn't married, but I regretted not reading it sooner because the tools are fantastic.
Very, very good. But about the topic she was just talking about with the masculine and feminine energies, we want to unpack that a little bit more. And while we're waiting for our callers do call in. We're our number is on their website there, and that is 323-203-0815. And we will be talking to. Oh, here we go. Hello. How are
you? Hi. I'm good. How are
you? What can I do for you? Do you have a question for us that we can unravel for you?
I do. I'm in a relationship. My name is Courtney. I'm in a relationship with a really great guy. He's avoidant. If that, you know, his failing, I mean, because we're all human, right? Generally, he's great. Mm-hmm. But he is avoidant to negotiate time, money, space, or play. And what he has said is they are working really well. And I, you know, do you feel like it's working really well? And I said, I do. What do you think? He said, I think we're doing great. So, you know, so why?
But in order to build, yeah, you want to build the relationship.
Right.
So
is that
in order to move forward?
Honey, I feel like we're moving forward, and yet it's right. We're growing and changing. And gosh, last week I heard you say you need more time to do X, Y, Z. And so that's a time thing, right? So it's okay.
That's a time thing.
You know, I understand if you have to work and we have to spend less, you know, time together while you're accomplishing this thing. I understand that. And can we negotiate it? We're not going anywhere. He's had enough time to think about it. It seems to me like he takes anywhere between a couple days, a day to 2 days, or up to maybe a week, depending on the
Everyone's right? Time frame is different. What is your time? How long are you willing to wait for this human being to process what you have discussed with him would enhance your relating?
Right. And he did
which
ask
is
if
the
it
time,
was
space,
to me,
money, and place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, it is important to me. It feels important to me. Well, if he doesn't bring it up in another week, I will believe he doesn't intend to bring it up or that he has actually forgotten about it, which is possible.
Okay, then you can do a knock on the door. Well, a couple of weeks. Some people take longer than others, and men often do process slower than women. So what you want to do then is just knock on the door, which is just a tap on his head verbally by saying, sweetheart, darling, whatever you call him, I'm just reminding you of something we talked about a couple of weeks ago or 10 days ago, whatever the time limit is you want to put on it. And I'm just wondering if you've had time to think about these things, and if you want to discuss any of these items we talked about that would enhance our relating. What do you think? So this is how we do a reminder without nagging, that sort of thing. When would be a good time for us to discuss those things? And which one is more important to you to start with? Not everyone wants to handle them all at once in one sitting. So let's take them one at a time. Which one would you start with?
Seems like the big ticket one is money. And part of the reason I wanted to discuss it is that, you know, he hasn't got any money. He's still working. I have money. I am still working, but not very much. If he stops, you know, were he to stop working in a couple of years, which I expect he will, I could support both of us. However, it would not be in, you know, any great style, right? My preference would be that he keep working for longer, do something that is less physically strenuous than what he does, which it seems like he has an idea for something that he would enjoy. Well, I had an idea, then he seems like he likes it. He was just saying last night to a friend, you know, something which I really like. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's his great idea. So
you want to make sure that we're not mothering him and nagging him, but yes.
Yeah. And I don't want to nag him. And I, you know, I feel like he's putting this discussion off because he doesn't really have anything to contribute in a large way financially. And that's a drag.
It doesn't have to be in a large way.
And I can't change it, you know?
I mean, well,
he can make differing amounts of money, but unless he gets the pot of gold from the leprechaun, you know, he hasn't got the pot of gold.
Now you have to decide for you if he is at least 51% valuable on any given, on all his worst days to keep. And
yeah, so
what are your
worst days? Yeah. He's like
is
a
at least
solid 70 even on his worst days.
Okay.
So
but we have this area. What I'm hearing from you is this is the clincher for you that could cause you roadblocks in the future. Am I right?
Yeah, I think it's going to cause me roadblocks, and my understanding
and put stress on
of
you?
Him is that it's going to stress me out, and he's going to be making decisions about the relationship based on whatever he comes up with in his own mind, which is not a complete discussion.
That's when you say, are you willing? When are you willing to talk about this?
Okay.
This is important to me, as you asked me if it was important to me before, and it is. So when will you be available to open up the topic together?
Okay. That sounds good.
Because money is often a real negative point with couples. When they can hit a wall with it, and it affects all the other parts.
Exactly. And if we're going to hit the wall, I just assume we do it and move on. Honestly.
Right. Then some
because
then
I just
years
care
down
about
the road
him more all the time, and I see him caring about me. And at the same
yes,
time,
yes, the caring
when,
part is there.
You know,
sounds like you have chemistry. You have chemistry. Am I right? And some and compatibility.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But
yeah, we have
this
we
area. That part's great, but money that we are living in the real world, and so these discussions need to be discussed. These topics need to be discussed because they can cause damage in the relationship if you don't have a plan. And it sounds like you're mature adult, you're mature people, and
we're grown people,
you can't
yeah.
just go grown people. You can't live like your college kids anymore and just go willy nilly,
you know? Yeah. No,
I mean, and be willy nilly. You kind of have to have a plan,
and, you know?
Mm-hmm. You want to have some kind of a plan that is not going to, especially women, even if you have a little bit of money of your own to take care of yourself, women have a greater need to have a sense of security, even than men do.
Yeah, well, plus we live longer.
So there, so, there I mean, that's, you can, you know, appeal right there, to him on that level. Say, I'm born in a female body, and I have feelings of insecurity sometimes, and I want to make sure that I have security into my old age.
Yeah.
I hope you wrote that down, because that's a beautiful sentence.
I'm going to write it down now, Marcus. Really, thank you so much.
Thank you for that Andy. I always like it. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that sentence right there is a beautiful way to get into a guy's mind in a perfect energy system.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
From your feelings, from your fear, because your fear is a feeling, and when women are very important to us, to have a sense of security.
He does respond very well to that, by the way.
To your feelings.
Couple times I've been upset about something, you know, I'd wanted him to go see the doctor about something that's like a known condition that could be a big problem. And he's like, and you know, I just don't feel happy. I don't feel good about it. I feel scared. I feel scared that there might be something wrong, and I don't, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. It's totally outside. I think that's not my professional area, right? And it's known, you know, it's a known thing. And I don't feel good. And he was like, oh. Mm-hmm.
So he'll respond to
your
feelings.
Went out and he's really, he wants to make his own decision. You know?
Of course he wants to make his own decision.
I mean, like we all do, right? And
well, especially a man, we don't want to push him around.
No, and he had.
So, Andy, if she came to you, Andy, and said that she had fear, financial fear, you know, felt feelings of insecurity for the future and her older age, that would you respond to that, Andy?
How can I help? Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. That's what you want to hear.
Have the numbers and. Let's figure out what enough is and what's equitable and what you want, what you don't want. Let's put it all on the table and have the conversation. But you don't get to that point unless you ask for it.
Yeah, and it seems like I'm reminding him that it matters to me.
It matters to you, not from your head, though. You have to come from your body, how it makes you feel. It makes
it doesn't
you feel,
make me feel good.
Not just not feel good, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Not just it doesn't feel good.
Talk about it. Like, what does that mean? That he won't, you know, that he won't, that he's not talking
about
it.
We don't need
it
to.
Scared.
Yes. Yeah. Makes you feel scared and insecure. So those are your key mm-hmm. words. If you jot them down, and I tell everybody out there when they call in, please have a pen and paper with you and take notes. So, right, come from your fear and feeling scared and insecure about the future.
Or even record the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Even record the conversation. And then if your money's obviously an emotional conversation, if you in your mind, when he says something emotional, in your mind think of what the words are and take the emotion out of it. For instance, mm-hmm. when a teenage child says "Yes, Mom" to his mom, what's he actually saying? "Yes, Mom." So, just in your mind, yeah. write down what the words are.
And what does he typically say when he avoids you? What does he typically say? How does he go sideways?
Oh, his eyes slide off to one side. He has a real tell.
Does he have words? Andy's, we're trying to get to what words does he
he'll
use?
He'll say that he doesn't want to talk about it right now. And if something he doesn't want to talk about right now, he'll come back later. And
what's later, you know, days, weeks,
like the next day, you know, mm-hmm. if it's in the evening and late, he'll say, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to talk about this right now, but he'll remind me the next day.
People are tired in the evenings. About. That's not the best time to talk about serious topics is at night. People are tired after they've worked all day. So I would suggest you talk about these things. Daytime, definitely daytime. The gray matter, the brain cells are firing better in the daytime.
With food and water.
Yeah. That's right. after having been fed. So that's some words for wisdom. There is to make sure your timing is good, which would be daytime, and come from your feelings, and ask for his undivided attention about a topic that is very important to you for your sense of security.
Okay, that sounds good. And I really don't, I mean, it would be great if he had a ton of money, but honestly,
he might be good enough if he comes up with a plan. But he can't avoid. But if he does, if he continues to avoid completely, that will not make you feel comfortable long term.
No, and so it's really
must be discussed. You can't live like you're 20 when you're. How old is he? Over what?
72, 73.
Okay, well then you've got to be realistic.
Thank you.
And he and you can ask him that it's how important it is to you for your own sense, your comfort level.
Yeah, he goes a long way to make me feel comfortable.
Yes, yes, Andy.
I was just going to say, set your boundaries. How many times are you willing to ask? How long are you willing to wait? And when you have those numbers in your mind, it's often easier to wait that time. Instead of having it drive you crazy because it's not happening in the moment when you think it should.
Okay.
Well, this was, I'm hoping that you will have this conversation and get back to us with some feedback.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I'll
look forward to hearing
back
from you.
Thank you.
Please do.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Mm-hmm. Well, these topics, you know, this talk about money is only one of the topics. Time, space, money, and play. All these areas in our relationship agreements, and we do relationships agreements for people. They call in and make an appointment with couples. And we get into it on a deep level, all the areas. My time, your time,
our
time.
I'm sorry, I'm not here to take your call.
Oh, please, people, answer your phone when they call you back. Oh, okay. Maybe they'll try back again and pick up. Because the station does log in your number when you call in, and then they call you back. They put your number in the queue and call you back. Anyway, those areas are discussed in chapter 14 of Getting to I Do, and time, my time, your time, our time, space, my space, your space, our space, meaning my side of the sink, my closet, my closet, this, my drawers, and that's space. Space is everything that is your, everyone has private space, community space, and space with others. Time, space, money. Money was the one we were just discussing. My money, your money, our money. How will we utilize it in a relationship? What's mine, yours, and ours? And how we budget, who contributes what, and time, space, money, and play. How we play. The husband, let's say, enjoys out golfing, and he will go golf for 4 hours. And so a lot of times women say, oh, I feel like a golf widow. And I tell her, go do something yourself. Go take up pickleball. Do something that entertains yourself while he's golfing, or go learn golf. But that's an area that everyone needs to discuss as well. Anyway, in chapter 14 of Getting to I Do, that's where you can learn that, or call us and we help you do it, help the couples work out their stuff. And Andy, I was going to ask you, are you familiar with, did you ever read the Truth About Men Will Set You Free that Dr. Pat Allen did with Don Schmenke?
I did. That's really good.
Isn't that a great book for the, well, not just, it's not just for men, it's a man's point of view. That's why I'm bringing it up today with you, with us here. And that is a book that women would have some insight about how men think. And it's a little spicy, wouldn't you say, Andy?
It was, yes. I've read it, so I'm looking forward to my library right now.
Yeah, it's a little, it can be a little spicy because it's a real men's point of view of how they see women, how men see women and the different types of women and what will enhance a woman's odds of getting partnered from the man's point of view. So Dr. Pat did that book with him, with Don Schmenke. And anyway, people love it. It's not a big book, but it's a little fun as well. Any callers, please do call in. We look forward to hearing from you. And leave your phone, answer your phone, because we call you back. Anything else you want to talk about, Andy?
Well, I always like my favorite topic of boundaries. But let me ask you, Patricia. When you first heard about, met Dr. Allen, what was the one thing that really kind of hooked you?
well, let's see. I had a holistic health clinic at the time and had a lot of other studies and other inputs and degrees. But her interesting aspect was the masculine and feminine direction of coming from either the position of being, I say it's like a king and a queen instead of two kings and two queens. So not being, meaning gay or straight, gay, straight, or anything, these masculine and feminine energies really are complementary forces. And that's what I got out of it back then, 30 years ago, mind you. I have been working with Pat and we've been on the road together. We've done workshops and retreats. And this has just been the extra on my studies over the years was this understanding really how people can really get along long-term when they understand the complementary forces. We're not opposing forces. We are complementary forces.
Outstanding.
Andy?
Enough of me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Enough for me, like there's a table of words between rational and emotional language. Mm-hmm. And the homework I like to give, because Pat gave it to me, was to learn the table. And then in other conversations, whether they be on TV, the table behind you, whatever, is listen for those emotional words and then in your mind replace them with a rational word. And over time, since we can't hear ourselves talk, our self-talk will change given enough time and practice. And that has changed the energy on so many levels with so many different conversations, just being aware of those word changes?
Words can change your life. So that's the root of our work. Dr. Pat Allen's groundbreaking doctoral work is androgynous semantic realignment, which springboard off of Eric Byrne's work, transactional analysis, and she took it the next steps further. And that is the basis, this way of communicating in such a rational way that it takes the emotionalism out of it, and people say what they mean and mean what they say and don't play emotional games, right?
Absolutely. In your 30 years of experience with this, have you had any, I'm not really sure what I'm asking for. You know what Pavlov is, or eight dangers of getting healthy?
There are dangers of becoming more healthy than the people you were raised with and used to being around. And that's why our friends sometimes change, and even our family members aren't as intimate, because it gets lonelier at the top, is something Maslow said. This is in Toward a Psychology of Being, which is Maslow's work. It's a beautiful book. And when you become, the more healthy you become, sometimes your inner circle becomes a tighter knit and fewer people to really communicate with well and in a healthy way. There are more people out there who communicate in unhealthy, irrational styles than there are people who communicate rationally. So your world does become smaller. But would you have it any other way, Andy?
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not. I love my world. It's only getting better.
Yeah, so that's the point. The point is, if you want to have a calm life and keep your cortisol levels, you know, people who keep their cortisol, that's the stress hormone in the body produced by the adrenal glands. The stress hormone ages you and you have a shorter life because all your cells are getting bombarded with cortisol. And we need our cortisol if we need fight or flight, if the bears are coming after us. But for daily living, you want to keep your cortisol levels even and in a healthy way, so that if you're in a healthy environment at home, let's say, if you're in a healthy relationship where you communicate well, and there's never going to be a stress-free environment, but you can have less stress, at least in your home life. We can't control what's out there in the world. There are wars going on. There's crazy people in traffic, but we can at least hopefully create a less stressful environment at home. And that's by using these tools of communication that we teach at the Want Institute. Again, I want to go back to making appointments if you want for women's groups and private appointments, life scripts even, where we get deep into your psyche and your what made you you. So all these different tools can help you ultimately be the best version of you, so that you can attract and be a healthy partner. That's the goal, is to live well and be partnered well. And even if you don't want to be partnered well or partnered period, there are plenty of people who are fine and happy not being partnered. And that's a choice. There's nothing wrong with that. There are successful people who have a network of friends that becomes their families. But if you want to be partnered well as well, and that can be either married or partnered, and that can be male to male, female to female, female to male. It's the communication is all the same. What we teach is healthy communication styles so that we can maintain long-term relationships. Anything more to say on that, Andy?
Well, I was just thinking about the self-talk. Like, who do we listen to the most? Ourselves. So your talk, because we can think, 2,500 words a minute, but we can only speak about 250 or less for me. but what you say to yourself really, really matters. Like, you can drive yourself crazy or you cannot. And when you have your boundaries, when you have your limits, your what is enough, like what is enough money, what is enough time, but the relationship contract we were referring to earlier, but also, you know, what is enough of this conversation? Like, I can't do this anymore. Knowing your limits is phenomenally helpful. And also you have value. Knowing you're not going to get abused, or if you do get abused, listen, buddy, you got two more times or I'm into this thing. You know, make your choice.
You have to know where the exit sign is at all times. You have to know when it's time to exit as well.
Yeah, and that's not a negative statement. That's a self-care statement.
That's exactly right. We don't encourage people to stay in toxic, abusive relationships. We try to help them manage them and repair them if possible. But there's a time frame where you say, no, I won't do this longer than that.
Yeah. So we hear a lot about other people changing, but there are a few people who go, you know what, I'll be the one to change. Like, that's a much harder statement to get to. Because it's like, oh, crap, this all rests on me. Darn it.
We can only change ourselves. We get all the time, we get calls and clients saying, I want to make him be different. I want him to change. Well, you can only decide how you're going to behave. Your behavior is what you have in control of. You cannot control another person's behavior. As Andy was talking about, you can set boundaries. If somebody is doing something that hurts you in some way or is totally offensive to you, then we have communication tools. Like, I see that you're doing that. However, when you do that, it really turns me off. So are you willing to not do that so that I can stick around?
Yeah, and remember, every answer that's not a yes is a no.
That's exactly right. So this is how we ultimately help somebody change if they're willing to keep the relationship going. And if they don't want to, and sometimes people say they can't, but if they don't, you don't have to put up with bad behavior. We call that tolerating. You either accept somebody the way they are, or you reject the behavior or talk. Some people don't want abusive swearing at them and name calling, and we don't advise that. So we teach people how to set boundaries in that area. And if it continues, you can say it becomes a deal breaker. I don't want to stick around for this.
Yeah. And should we remind our callers, our listeners, what tolerate means? Half love, half hate, only hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So that being said, we're coming to a close here pretty soon. And any last minute words from you, Andy?
I just wish everybody love and luck and a good journey.
Yes. So on this topic, the only way you know you love or care about yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. Thank you.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.